It's showtime.
Kincaid, 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And away we go. We are off and running. 2 minutes past the hour on this 23rd day of April 2019. That's the only time check for the evening, I think. And this program is live. You can almost always count on this program being live from 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, as is the case today. And if you'd like to participate in the Merry Wacky Zany Real-Time Multimedia Extravaganza, that is the Horn Chat Room. Run on over to headon.live, click on Chat Room, and pick yourself out a screen name and a password if you haven't before, and you'll be immediately greeted by the likes of Anatole and Squeaky. Yes, indeed. And I'm right there as well, so come on in. The conversation is fine. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid, and it's Titanic Tuesday, Trump-tanic Tuesday on the Horn. And remember, we celebrate instances of Trumptanic intellect, you know, full speed ahead into that there iceberg on days like this. Today is no different. Spent a lot of time on impeachment yesterday and the whys and wherefores of it. But, well, for this evening, I'm going to try to go and deal with some sometimes there's a tangential connection to the Trump-tanic stupidity, but no, we've got some stupid that doesn't have Trump in it. Here, there. That's a good way to put it. I'll go ahead and say this: we're $20, 20 from finishing the month of April. Fundraising wise, thanks going out to our subscribers, Stacy and Philip in Maryland, as well as our pal at Mellow Moonlit Meadow. What a lovely name. Thank you very kindly. And no takers yet. And remember, please, that Tony from Chico, who is a long time, one of the longest term subscribers to this program, put a challenge on the table for the entire month of April. And we've only got 3 subscribers on this particular day, the 23rd of the month. So if you'd like to be a subscriber, if you subscribe at $10 a month, Tony will double that to 20 for this first month. If you subscribe at $20 a month, Tony will double that to 40 for this first month, up to and including a grand total of $50. So far, no takers. We badly need new subscribers. Because every now and then, you know, people fall off, their card numbers change, things like that. And increasing the subscriber base really, really is a huge part of keeping the program on the air. And in fact, that's why we're going to be able to have fundraising free radio for the remainder of the month. If we ever get to the point where all the fundraising is met by subscribers, there will be no on-air fundraising. And I don't know about you, but that would be awesome as far as I'm concerned. So, that. Five new subscribers at $10 a month. You each get your first month's subscription doubled, courtesy of Tony in Chico. So please remember that. Now, Trumptanic Tuesday. Yes. You remember, what was it, a couple of weeks ago or so? When the Israelis tried to land a probe on the moon and instead corkscrewed a Torah bomb into the surface of the Earth's largest and only natural satellite. Yeah, yeah. Well, one of the ways that they described the Torah bomb, and I call it a Torah bomb because they put the Torah in it and then they crash-landed it into the moon. Or just crashed it into it. Well, there was no landing. It was just a crash. Maybe if they weren't so busy killing Palestinians, they could have gotten the science right. But never mind. Just leave that behind. It was the fact that that it was described as being the lander was described as being the size of a washing machine that caught my eye. And so for this Trumptanic Tuesday, something else about washing machines. Yeah, I mean, this is really sort of the platinum standard for Trumptanic intellect, when you get right down to it. It has something to do with Julius Caesar's various and sundry trade wars. And it comes as a result of an analysis by the American Enterprise Institute, not exactly a bastion of to the ramparts liberal left-wing activism. No. The American Enterprise Institute is very much a conservative, well-funded economic policy sort of wingnut welfare think tank. But as the saying goes, even a stopped clock is right twice a day. And so, yeah, washing machines. Washing machines. Rather prosaic. You know, once upon a time, Maytag made their bones on having a guy dressed up as a Maytag repairman. And the hook, or the shtick, to that long-running cute series of ads. Remember we were talking last night about Mrs. Olson and and the Sanka ads with Marcus Welby. Well, the lonely Maytag repairman who never got any work repairing Maytags because Maytags just didn't break down made Maytag a household name. Then we started making everything everywhere else. But the American Enterprise Institute drew attention to an article by Aaron Flayen, Ali Hortascu, and Felix Tintelnot called "The Production Relocation and Price Effects of U.S. Trade Policy, The Case of Washing Machines." Listening to the title of that article, we are all reminded of why economics is referred to as the dismal science. Because, I mean, that title doesn't make you exactly want to pop the popcorn and put the cat on your lap and light the pipe and sit there for some scintillating reading, unless you're an economist. But it turns out washing machines have a story to tell in Trumptanic America. They do. Because the chlamydia claudius as part of his trade war to make America great again. This is not one of those non-Trumpian stories I was talking about. No, no. In the course of making America great again, the Clementine Caligula imposed a tariff on washing machines made somewhere else in the world besides the new 90 states of Merca, the greatest country in the history of the world on earth now today in the universe forever under God. And the purpose of that, well, nobody really knows what the purpose of it was, but the effect of it was that, lo and behold, some foreign washing machine manufacturers shifted their production here and added about 2,000 jobs to the national economy. Now, here's the problem. Those 2,000 jobs came at a cost, the economists sorted out, of $820,000 per job. Damn. Let's put it this way: none of the people who got those 2,000 jobs are making $820,000 a year. Oh, no. And then there's the tariffs themselves. The tariffs paid on imported washing machines netted a whopping $82 million for the Treasury of the United States of America.
Winning, so much winning, there'll be so much winning you get sick of winning.
Well, howdy. That's a right smart load of money there, $82 million. Oops. Because with anything this administration, this maladministration, this criminal enterprise, this racketeer-influenced corrupt organization touches, it's a loser. Yeah. That $82 million, that $820,000 a job, consumer prices on washing machines went up by a total of $1.5 billion. The American Enterprise Institute cites Jim Tankersley, a reporter for the New York Times.
Oh, fake news.
The new tariffs ended a years-long decline in the price of washing machines in the United States. Because, well, everyone knows, at least the people who read those kinds of numbers, that you can really gauge the health of an economy by how much a new washing machine costs. I wouldn't know. Haven't shopped for washing machines in a long time. But it turns out that thanks to the tariff, the price of a washing machine went up by an average of $86 or so per washing machine. Solely as a result of the Tangerine Tiberius's tariffs. But that wasn't the end of it. Even though dryers weren't touched by the tariffs, I know, go figure. Why washing machines but not dryers? Do not try to sort out the steel trap mind rusted shut logic of an economic super genius like Donald J. Trump, millionaire, with your own poor faculties. But it turns out because capitalism, that manufacturers of dryers said, well, hey, let's use these tariffs as an excuse to fleece the rubes a little more. They voted for the dumbass. Let's let them pay for the privilege. And so, lo and behold, dryers went up right alongside the washing machines, even though there was no tariff. This way
to the egress, all you who want to make America great again, you over there with the he can grab me by the pussy anytime t-shirt, believe me, not you. Yeah, come on over here, give me $86, I'll show you this way to the egress.
Economic article above, the production, relocation, and price effects of U.S. trade policy, the case of washing machines. Mr. Tintelknot, giving an interview to the New York Times, said that, oddly enough, when people buy a washing machine, they also often buy a dryer at the same time. Because gone are the days when we used wind and sun power to dry our clothing. It's far easier to plug a dryer up to the electric power grid and let some, small portion of a blasted, blown-up, blown-away mountain dry your clothes instead of fresh air and warm sunshine. People used to hang their laundry on the lines, but now homeowners associations often have clauses that say, you're not going to be drying your clothes out here in the air and the sunshine, because that drives property prices down, goddammit. So it turns out the capitalists who make washing machines and dryers, according to Mr. Tintelknot, the costs of the two units are often similar, and so rather than raise prices by 20% on washers and throwing off the balance, because, well, you know, if your washing machine's ever gone out of balance, sounds like an aircraft is trying to take off back in your mudroom. The good capitalist companies just raised prices on both of them at the same time. Genius. But the best part of it all is that since the prices of washing machines from overseas went up, well, the domestic producers of washing machines, and yes, we still have some, said, hey, that's pure profit for us. Let's raise the price of our washing machines, too, even though they're not affected by the tariffs. Winning! How about that? Of course, this isn't going to make it to One America News or Fox News TV Radio Rwanda, so the rubes, the maggots, are never going to know about the screwing that they took. Nope. They'll just totter and dodder happily along, blithering idiots, thinking that somehow America's getting greater, because that new washing machine's got to be better because it's more expensive than washing machines used to be. It's probably got an entirely re-engineered Knutten valve in there, and God knows the flageolet is made of only the purest extruded Colombian polyvinyl. Right. Despite the increase in domestic production and employment, the costs of these 2018 tariffs are substantial. In a partial equilibrium setting, we estimate increase in annual consumer costs of around $1.5 billion, or roughly $820,000 per job created. Thanks, guys. And my gracious, thanks to the economic genius that is Donald the John Trump. Yes, yes, absolutely. As Brother Deacon Asa points out, between his Deutsche Bank dealings and his washing machine debacle, you can almost argue that Trump has made laundering great again. It's going to take a lot of washing machines to launder all that money. Yeah. And by the way, thank you to Kay. Thank you, Kay, very, very kindly. We're done with fundraising for April. And that is a wonderful thing. So, washing machines. Who would have thought that a washing machine could be so damned exciting? Mm-hmm. My, oh my. But it is Trump-tanic Tuesday. And that means we've got lots and lots and lots more stupidity to deal with. Let's go out to Eugene, Oregon. Now, for purposes of this story, it's worth remembering that the state of Oregon was admitted to the Union with a clause in its constitution that said no people of color would be allowed to live in Oregon. And if I'm not mistaken, Portland to this day remains the whitest major city in the United States. Well, we're not talking about Portland, we're talking about Eugene. And we're talking about the Easter that just passed. On Easter, children go out and hunt Easter eggs. Sometimes they're little plastic ones with pieces of candy tucked inside. Some people are originalists, Easter originalists. And they still go to the trouble of boiling the eggs and dyeing the eggs. And it's actually Springfield, Oregon, where a couple by the name of Jessica and Kevin Hollinger went for a leisurely stroll down the streets of Springfield. And just trying to sort this out, but they went for a walk down the leisurely streets of Springfield screaming things. And by things, I mean not at all nice things. For the life of me, I can't sort out what it is that motivates a human being to behave this way. I genuinely wish I could, because then, well, if you can figure out why people do this, then maybe you can come up with a remedy to keep this from happening anymore. Makes no sense whatsoever. I mean, kind of stymies. For some reason, I have some audio problems here. But the bottom line, even if the audio doesn't run, the bottom line is that as she came down the street, Jessica and Kevin Hollinger, shouting, their shouts were heard by the Matthews family. And Jessica Hollinger was screaming racial slurs at the little Matthews children as they hunted Easter eggs on Easter Sunday. Jessica Hollinger even went so far as to coming up in the yard and chest bumping the mother of the children, Rashonda Matthews. She posted on Facebook, "It's a sad world we live in, y'all. On Easter, with our kids out playing, we were called the N-word just for being black and outside, I guess. Before the video started, she had pushed my brother, and her man pulled a knife and threatened my brother. Shake my head. Let's make this video viral and publicly shame this." They were arrested and the children were taken to CPS. Sad for those babies, but also think it's a blessing for them. Justice was served, way more satisfying than what I really wanted to do to that nasty... Hashtag nasty fat bitch. Hashtag this is never okay. Hashtag poor kids. Hashtag justice. Hashtag sick sad world. Yeah, I'm pretty well glad that... Maybe I'm glad that the audio isn't running. Jesus. And the odd thing is, they were proud enough of what they were doing that Jessica and Kevin Hollinger recorded themselves doing it. No, really. And I guess the weirdest part, well, let's go to KEZI, ABC 9 News.
Thank you for joining us tonight. I'm Matt Templeman. Renee McCullough has the evening off. KZI 9 News reporter Madison Glassman spoke to that family who says they are no strangers to these attacks in this evening's top story.
It started off as a typical Easter Sunday until... The Matthews tell me they were inside sitting down for an Easter Sunday meal when they heard racial slurs being shouted outside. That's when they walked out and started recording.
And they were walking up on the side of the road over there. And that was when my brothers came down here and asked them to please not use those words.
You're on our property.
But Springfield residents Jessica and Kevin Hollinger didn't listen, and the Matthews quickly became the target.
And she approached me in my face and started saying it multiple times.
Springfield police say she walked onto the Matthews property and chest bumped one of them.
It escalated from there.
Police say Kevin Hollinger had a knife tucked under his shirt during.
And then here's the cherry on the whipped cream on all the shit. At the end of it, Jessica Hollinger mooned, as in dropped her sweatpants and exposed her behind to the Matthews family. Hoo-wee! That is some MAGA, ain't it? Yeah! Right. In the middle of the day. What kind of explanation is there for doing something like that? Because I gotta confess, I'm licked. I don't know how you get to that place. Hey, honey, let's take a walk down the road and shout racist epithets at the neighbors. All of our pals over at the Clavern will be tickled pink with us. Okay, tickled white. Kind of hard to see the pink under the sheets, but... yeah. But this is, you know, this is symptomatic of Trump America. Yeah. Just the price we pay for making the aggrieved, savagely ignorant Trump voters think that somehow or another they're participating in making the country great again. Why not? I mean, is that day drinking? No, because I don't think you can excuse that kind of rotten conduct. We're drinking. Because, as we learned, say, in the case of old Mel Gibson, drinking doesn't make you express racist sentiments. It doesn't make you hate. It just takes off your hate filter so that everybody else can know what lives beneath your veneer of your 21st century civilization, which turns out not to run very thick at all. That's right, Clarity pointing out, moon over my auntie. Big moon. Big moon. Very big moon. Big, pale, white moon. Hell, it could have probably taken an impact from a washing machine-sized device. See how we draw little circles and loops and tie it all up with a little bow there? Yeah, right, yeah. Steve in New York says, let's play a guessing game. So, let's see. If the color of the people were reversed, a black person has a knife under their shirt and chest bumps a white person, how do we think that this would have turned out differently, folks? I think we know exactly how it would have turned out differently. But, yeah. Yeah, we're off and running. Because we have a great big bunch of stupid to work with. Yesterday, of course, was Earth Day. And oddly enough, they actually found time to talk about Earth Day over on Washington Journal. Yeah, you know this is not going to end well, right? Yeah, let's check in with Ellen from Talibandiana. Even now, our Talibandiana friends are going, oh, no, no, not again. Yeah, again, sorry. Ellen knows why we have climate change, and she wants everyone else to know that she knows.
Let's go to Ellen, who's in Knightstown, Indiana. Somewhat concerned about climate change. Ellen, tell us why.
First of all, I believe that we are going to go toward a better climate from just using solar panels and things like this, just to air more healthy. But I would like to point out that I'm a student for many years, since 1948, of God's control of the weather. He was the one that...
Since 1948, she's been a student, Ellen from Knightsville, Talibandiana. She's been a student of God's control of the weather. I'm guessing Ellen is telling us that she was born in 1948. And so while Beto O'Rourke has taken no amount of shit for saying, no calculable amount of shit for saying he feels born for this moment, well, Ellen was born in 1948, I guess, because Almighty God knew that on April the 22nd, 2019, America would need to have God's control of the weather explained to it on a program watched primarily for its comedy value by liberals and progressives, and otherwise generally watched by right-wingers and shut-ins. That's the term we used back when I was still going to the Baptist church. And we're going to pray now. We're going to pray now for everybody here and all the lost souls and make sure we get a prayer in for the shut-ins. Right. God's control of the weather.
Control of the weather. He was the one that predicted the flood was going to come, and it did.
Well, he predicted the flood was going to come, and it did, because he's the one who caused it. There's really not a hell of a lot of profit power in predicting something that you're about to fucking do. You will. Easy there, Bob. Breathe now. Breathe. By the way, note coming in from Ron in Raleigh. I wonder, says Ron, going back to Jessica and Kevin Hollinger, Kevin who takes a walk on Easter with a knife in his waistband, are these the folks that old Jesse Lee Peterson wants to go to outer space with? Does Candace Owens want to spend more time in the company of Jessica and Kevin Hollinger of Springfield, Oregon? I reckon so. I don't think they're going to enjoy it near as much as they think they are. Yeah.
And he was also the one that talked about the sun in Revelation. He talks about the fact that he's going to cause the sun to be so hot that the people that are left behind after the rapture will be very, very uncomfortable, and
the sun's going to get very, and people are going to be, yeah, there's a passage in like 3 Peter or something where it says that, and their eyeballs shall burn out of their sockets, and their tongues shall melt in their mouth like M&Ms or LSD or something. I love the fact that they repurposed, but see, it doesn't work for the folks, you know, Emery and Marveline there. They've got the Republican line written down and the independent line. Sometimes they cheat. And they've got the Democrat line down in case they can't get through on the on God's upstanding Bible believing Republican line. So yesterday they repurposed their phone lines, concerned about climate change, and the first number was very concerned. The middle number was somewhat concerned, and the bottom number was not concerned. Now, I guess, Ellen there from Talibandiana, she called in on the somewhat concerned because she thinks it'll be nice to have solar panels, but the sun is going to heat up the earth because of sinners. Yeah, right? Yeah, sure.
Be very, very uncomfortable, and I just believe that there's something else that I can't remember what it was now. I thought about it before I called, that which shows that God is in charge in many ways of the climate.
Yeah, that's great. This is one of those moments when I know that I could never work for Washington Journal, because the woman who's moderating this at the time doesn't get to do what any normal human being would do when she says this shows that God's in charge of the weather, which is to say, Ellen, are you telling me that God is the one who drops all of those tornadoes on all those trailer parks all over the southern United States and all the way up into Talibandiana? Is that it, Ellen? Are those just little private sheet metal raptures that are thin sheet metal raptures that are taking place in places like, you know, Busted Knuckle, Mississippi, when what was a town becomes a great big empty place full of rubble because God's in control of the weather? Is that what it is there, Ellen? But you don't get to do that when you work for C-SPAN, and more's the pity. Steve in New York, go to outer space with, really? Let's set up a GoFundMe to make that happen. Jesse Lee Peterson in outer space. Space, space, space. Meanwhile, Dave in Talibandiana. Dave, reporting from the blind. Bob, you're not going to believe this, but for the last couple of days, I've been holed up here in the blind. Seems the NRA brought several thousand of their devoted followers, probably armed to the teeth. The address for Ellen on Washington Journal. Ellen, I say this with all due disrespect. Shut the fuck up. You make us look like idiots. Remember, I'm paraphrasing Mark Twain here. Better to be silent and thought a fool than open your mouth and remove all doubt. Your buddy Dave reporting from the blind in Talibandianapolis. I know, Dave. Look, I share your pain. I live in West Virginia. I could do nothing but stupid maggots stories coming out of West Virginia alone and never have to cross the state lines, but that's not so much fun. Ron in Raleigh is still wondering. Hey, Bob, has God spent any time in Mississippi in August? Now, that's uncomfortable. Yeah, it is. Muggy and sticky, and humidity's about a bajillion. Right. I told you we were loaded for bear this evening. I know. Monique wants to know, for the 5 zillionth time, wasn't today the rapture? As I'm online at Target. Well, yeah, I think it was supposed to be, but somehow or another, a lot of people either missed the memo or the Almighty missed the mark. Or maybe a different understanding of the word marks is at work. Marks, as in rubes. Mm-hmm. Now, it would not be Trump-tanic Tuesday if we didn't take a little jaunt down to Texas. They got a fella who has decided he's going to run against John Cornhole as a Democrat in 2020 for Senate. His name's M.J. Hegar. Maybe it's Hagar, H-E-G-A-R. Maybe sometimes I struggle with those Texas pronunciations. But today, M.J. Hegar, who has previous experience running for Congress, announced that he would be pursuing the Democratic nomination to run against John Cornyn for the Senate seat that's up in 2020. I'm sorry, she. I should not assume simply by the use of initials that a person's gender. M.J. Hegar is a woman. And apparently her announcement done skeert them big, tough, manly men over in John Cornyn's office. And they're trying to smear M.J. Hegar with guilt by association. On Twitter, something with a blue check mark called Team Cornyn referred to her as Hollywood Hegar. Hollywood Hegar supporter and video guest star Patton Oswalt has tweeted some offensive comments over the years. Reply A or B to let us know which one is more offensive to you. And they, let's see, offensive tweet number one, from Patton Oswalt, Mae West, why don't you come up sometime? And me in my with your we should in my room upstairs. I think the asterisks are fuck, pussy, and penis, and fuck again. And then Patton Oswalt also tweeted, goddamn shitfuck, mother, see you next Tuesday balls, shit, dick, fuck, goddamn, fuck. And because he's a comedian, titled that, because it scans, lemon juice on paper cut, you ping, haiku, circa 1563. These goddamn Republicans have no sense of humor whatsoever. That's hilarious. It doesn't offend me, but I think B is by far the better piece of comedy. They're outraged, I tell you. Outraged at the Cornyn camp over a woman named M.J. Hegar, whom they refer to as Hollywood Hegar. The best part of it, though, was when somebody caught up with them and said, we were the first to assert that the more complicated the forms assumed by civilization, the more restricted the freedom of the individual must become. Benito Mussolini. Because that was the quote that John Cornyn sent out. Why are Republicans and conservatives so notoriously unfunny? Why is it the only things that Republicans laugh at are jokes with racist themes. What goes wrong with their brains that makes them the way that they are? All this because Patton Oswalt had appeared in one of her campaign ads back when she was running for Congress. Because he occasionally uses dirty words. Patton Oswalt himself noted that they had bleeped out vagina and scrotum from a tweet in which he wrote, "There's a woman who knits with her vagina. Yawn, my great-grandfather built grain silos with his scrotum." They bleeped out vagina and scrotum. And he asked them, "Do you also bleep out appendix and kidney?" Yeah, John Cornyn. He's a real appendix. Oh, the stupid is strong with him. Real strong. Equally strong, though, with precious Lindsey Graham. Now, there's an element of this, of course, that includes your tax dollars at work. You may have noted that precious Ivanka decided she wanted to go and dance like a white woman in Africa. And so she went to the Ivory Coast, where she, like George W. Bush a decade ago, or more a decade and a half ago, was captured on video dancing. Because that's what wealthy white people do when they go to Africa. They dance badly. But in amongst the dancing, Ivanka found time for something called the WEFI Summit, the Women Entrepreneurs Financial Initiative. This is something that she thinks really shows how smart and committed to the advancement of women she is, at least the women who aren't chained to tables in some province in China, making her shitty shoes and crappy handbags. But for some reason or another, Lindsey Graham, no editorializing here, Lindsey Graham came along for the Women's Entrepreneurs Financial Initiative. And he stood up there and gave an address to the entrepreneurial women of the Financial Initiative Summit. And don't worry, there's no audio. We have to deal with a transcript here. But instead of talking about women entrepreneurs and a financial initiative, he decided to get out his lace hanky with the smelling salts. Here's what he said. And everybody in the room sort of looked at each other like, "The fuck is this white man talking about?" And I think even precious Ivanka was, "What daddy said it'd be all right. Daddy said it would be all right." But instead, there's Lindsey huffing and puffing and shrieking and bawling, "It's the enemy of mankind, not just the United States." Because he decided to give his address on the dangers of the ISIS and the Al-Qaeda. "It is the enemy of mankind, not just the United States. Some of our soldiers will be needed, but not a lot. Most of the fighting will be done by the people in the region.
I promise you the enemy will lose, because very few mothers or fathers want to turn their daughters over to ISIS or Al-Qaeda or any other group. We're going to win this struggle. The only question is, how long does it take and how many must die? Giving a young woman in a remote, poor region an education and a voice for herself and her children is the terrorist's worst nightmare. So, if you really want to deal a blow to these evil people, build schools, create economic opportunity, allow a mother to have a say about the future of her children, because she will inevitably say no to the terrorist. Really? Yeah, it beats cats fucking. You notice how we're going to allow a mother to have a say, not the say, just a say, about the future of her children. What Lindsey doesn't note is that he has no interest, or any other Republican, in allowing a woman who isn't a mother to have a say on when she decides to be a mother. Because, see, there's one single statistic, and it's global in its effect. You can judge the health of a culture by one simple fact. Access to reproductive health care by poor women in the developing world. The more access a woman has, the better the likelihood that that culture, that economy, that population will approach something resembling both happy and healthy. So what Lindsey really should have said is, so if you really want to deal a blow to these evil people, give the women access to birth control. But no, the beast was there, and people in the audience were overheard whispering to each other, "What the hell is that white man talking about?" Lindsey wants to get his war on so bad. He just gets all excited when other people's children get to go and fight and die in wars that he doesn't have to have anything to do with, except for riding their honorable backs with his very excited person. Right. Ron in Raleigh points out, back in the day, a white rapper made this tune, "Shake It Like a White Girl." Don't want to mess up the, don't want to mess up the upload, so I can't play it. But Ron notes, Ivanka was the model for this song. Well, if you do want to go, and this is a radio program, no video, so there's not much to hear, but a lot to see. You can see video. Just go and, you know, go and search Ivanka dancing in Africa. And I'm pretty sure it'll pop right up. Here, just to be sure. You know what's funny? As you know how the business with the suggested autofill, I typed Ivanka dancing in, and it autofilled on Trump's lap. Ivanka dancing in Africa. Uh,
There it is. Ivanka Trump mocked for saying it was her privilege to dance with Africans. Ivanka Trump enjoys energetic dance during official visit to Ethiopia. Ivanka Trump busts out dance moves in Ethiopia. What the hell was she doing, you know, in the Ivory Coast? Well, the answer is simple enough. She had to make sure and upstage her stepmommy. Because stepmommy went to Africa and got to wear her cool white lady in It's at TMZ. Make sure you've got your eye bleach handy. But yeah, she had to make sure that she caught up with melanoma, because melanoma went over to Africa and wore her white colonialist uniform and. But what I was saying a few minutes ago about women's reproductive health in developing nations. Well, there's a serious story that goes with that. Over at the United Nations, Julian Borger has the report for The Guardian. Over at the United Nations, the Germans put forward a resolution condemning the use and combating the use of rape as a weapon of war. What's to argue with that? Who wouldn't want to make rape less of a weapon of war? Maybe make it even a war crime or a crime against humanity. Who wouldn't? The Trump administration, that's who. Okay, not just the Trump administration. The Trump administration and Russia and China. Because I guess the Trump administration sees using rape as a weapon of war. Well, it's cheaper than a Tomahawk missile.
Big, beautiful rape.
Among other things, the resolution would have set up what's described by The Guardian as a formal mechanism to monitor and report atrocities. That mechanism for reporting atrocities and monitoring, well, that was one of the things that really got under the skin of the United States, i.e. the Trump regime, as well as Trump's masters in Russia, and, well, the Chinese, too. Apparently Xi Jinping, with whom Julius Geezer says he has such a fabulous, fabulous relationship, is a fan of rape during wartime. Maybe they're just waiting for their opportunity to get a little payback for what happened in Nanking. But the other part of it, and this is the United States part of it, the idea was considered today in the United Nations. So in order to appease the orange man baby who likes to grab women by their genitals, by his own admission, the United States said, nope, still no good, won't do. Why? Because there was language that said that victims of rape should have access to family planning clinics. By the way, the Trump administration also opposed any use of the word gender because it's afraid that using the word gender might indicate some support for trans people in other parts of the world who, as of now, can just be murdered for being who they are. So, Pramila Patton, the UN Special Representative on Sexual Violence in Conflict, told The Guardian, they're threatening to use their veto over this agreed language on comprehensive health care services, including sexual and reproductive health. The language is being maintained for the time being, and we'll see over the next 24 hours how the situation evolves. You can guess, can't you? Well, the latest version of the draft resolution recognizes the work of the informal expert group on women, peace, and security. But in the current draft as it stands, the formal mechanism is gone. It's very, very weak. Because the Republican Party and the Trumpansies, the maggots, are terribly, terribly worried that there might be raped women in war-torn countries who might not want to have their rapists rape baby. Hoo-wee! That is some Christian values right there. I tell you what. That, by God, is what the 30 or 33% of Americans who still approve of Trump, by God, that's what they voted for. Rape babies. Yes, sirree. We're not going to have any of them Jezebels out there getting themselves all raped and then not wanting to have the baby after they done Jezebeled their way into some raping. By God, we're going to make America the great again, and we're going to make the world great, too, if we have to rape every woman in the world to death. Sick fuckers. Silent R. Lamar, I haven't heard from Silent R. in a while. May I say Bob? Well, don't ask me. You got to ask Ron on that one. He might give you a waiver. Personally speaking, do unto others as you have them do unto you. No impeachment, open investigation, one after another, like they did the Clintons. Give Trump and the Republicans no rest, make them answer to all investigations, but with a twist. Investigate, in fact. The whole Trump clan, spelled capital K, capital L, capital A, capital N, Stephen New York says, there's nothing, nor has there ever been anything, the least bit redeeming about any Trump. From womb to tomb, they are nothing but pus-filled boils on the ass of humanity. Yeah. Meanwhile, Silent R. Lamar with sending me a photograph of Perry Mason at counsel table. Your Honor, we the defense have nothing and enter a plea of what the fuck. Counsel requests 360 days recess and the court can have their way with Mr. Trump. Counsel is out of here. Later! Oh, and hey, there is, sorry, I just checked in on the chat room. There's pinch hit midweek chat room utility moderator and all-around great guy, Steve from Georgistan. Thanks for popping by, Steve. Appreciate it. What's that, Monique? Monique says, oh, and by the way, the Twitter head met with Trump. So done. I know. Ah, thanks. Hey, Sailor. Tweeting, MJ Hegar's one of us, wounded as a helicopter pilot. She lost in 2018 and had minimal DCCC support, if any. Her YouTube, that might be a typo. Her YouTube on Doors is great. I'll check it out. I just, the name didn't jump out at me. But, yeah. And apparently, she is scaring the cornhole campaign waterfowled. Mm-hmm. I got more Trump-tanic intellect even still. But, like I said, I hate to keep people on hold. And let's go over and check in with Todd. Hey, Todd.
Is this a Bob Caban?
Yes, this is Bob.
This is Jesse Pearson. God damn it.
Yeah, this is Bob. This is Bob Kincaisian. Yes.
Bring my name up on the radio. I must clear my name in a very efficient manner. Do you understand me?
I do understand, sir. Yes.
Because I hear your viewers, you liberals, you unchristian liberals do not understand how things really work. Now, this is the Negro must fall in line and ingest every dingleberry available to them from the white man. Therefore, when they do not do this, things do not happen in a correct fashion.
I never understood it in quite that light, sir. Thank you for bringing that to our attention.
This is why I am supplied with a daily supply of Maker's Mark.
Ah, now a language that I do speak. Yes, Maker's Mark.
See, we can agree on some things, even though you are a disgusting liberal person.
You left out heathen there,
oh
Jesse
God,
Lee.
I can't do this anymore. It's too much.
Yeah, I know. It makes your brain hurt, doesn't it? Makes mine hurt, too, because I felt a little bit like a moderator on Washington Journal, and I couldn't really get into it with you.
Now, okay. First of all, I think today was the first time I saw Greta. You didn't want to say her name. Greta laughed at a caller this morning. And yesterday, too. I mean, you're not supposed to do that. She laughed. But the insanity is just amazing.
Through the roof.
The insanity. Listen, you know what? And it's Earth Day. See, this is the Earth Day thing, right? And I was unfortunate enough to be around when Ira Einhorn finally got arrested for killing his girlfriend. I was still living in Philly then. And remember, he was the American originator of Earth Day, because Earth Day started overseas, I believe.
No, Earth Day was started as a result of Wisconsin Senator Gaylord.
Well, that's why they had him on C-SPAN this morning.
He's dead,
so
but he's dead, but
okay.
his daughter, who is 61 years old now, continues his work.
Okay.
Gaylord Nelson.
That's it. Because, That's it. See, I'm so glad. That's why, we need you to correct facts. But it was a big deal. Like, I guess in the Philadelphia area, it was Ira Einhorn. And like, he got, you know, he was like this supposed this intellectual. And he killed his girlfriend and put her in the trunk, and her body bled out. And blood was dripping through the ceiling over the next tenant. I guess you don't know what I'm talking about. But anyway, it's Ira Einhorn, you know, Google it.
It tickles a neuron, but I'll have to read up.
But C-SPAN did show the Congressman Gaylord, and you know, it was just, it's like we're not moving, we're just running fast in place. The things that he was talking about, I'm like, wow, holy cow, you know, I was 5 years old. This guy is like saying, you know, talking about things that we deal with today.
Yeah, his daughter said he would be decidedly distraught at the politicization of simple scientific fact. And she seems to her name is Tia Nelson. I saw it on Twitter earlier today. And one of the things she said is that, you know, privately these Republicans might say, well, sure it is. Sure, climate change is real. We face a real problem. But it's not as big a problem as me losing all of my political support. So basically what you've got is a situation where Republicans are putting their personal pecuniary and power desires ahead of the entire population, human population, of Earth. I mean, that really does boil down that simply.
It's that simple.
And that's whether it's Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America, or Joni Ernst in Iowa. By the way, she gets a nomination today. Joni Ernst was asked about Trump's, you know, being a goddamn liar. Remember Joni? She's the one who ran on the I Know How to Castrate Hogs platform for Senate from Iowa.
That's a Beth Nomaker.
Right. Joni Hog Deballer Ernst. And when she was asked about the fact that Trump is a goddamn liar and lied all over the place, she responded by saying, "I think we all know who the president is. He has a brash demeanor. That's about all I can say."
Cop out.
Well, I tell you what, if that was a dark-skinned Democratic president, whew! I'm hooting a lot this evening. Sorry, Todd. I don't think it would be Barack Obama's brash demeanor.
Okay. I hope we don't have to revisit the whole dynamic of that black family having to put their black behinds all over that White House, in the commodes, in the bathroom, in the shower.
Oh, there was total. There was a total retrofit.
Because we can't have that. And
I mean, Melanoma and Julius Caesar had a new mattress shipped in.
You know, I'm glad you brought her up. Now, what in the world would allow thinking people to give her a pass as to her posture on folks who don't look like her? Because I mean that I could see that. And do people not read where she comes from? These people are fierce. They don't like black folk. They beat up black people on the Moscow subway, diplomats, you know, it's not a welcoming place. at all.
No, sure, and let's take the next step. If there's no video. Oh no! Wait. Let me put it this way. What did Trump get so upset about when the word broke of the PP tape? I don't think he ever even understood what the PP tape was supposed to be about. Because it wasn't Russian hookers PPing on him, and it wasn't him PPing on Russian hookers. It was video of him enjoying watching Russian hookers urinate on the bed where Barack and Michelle Obama slept when they visited Russia.
Yes.
I mean, there wasn't even any reportage that Trump was, you know, naked. Ooh, the very thought. But just that he enjoyed, and so this caused the maggots and Trump no end of consternation.
Okay.
Because it exposed, Todd, the filthy racist that he is.
I would like to stop you on the C word, consternation, because this is what, all right, I'm an avid student of body language, and that close-up of the current multi-celled, mentally ill fascist organism that is our leader, the look on his face at the press conference, the jovial, quote-unquote jovial press center, whatever it's called, you know, the White House press.
Yeah, the nerd prom.
You know what I'm saying. Right. When President Obama made fun of him, you know, and it's a joke. You know, that's what you're there for. It's about humor. The look, he was leaning forward, and the look on his face. Now, and I'm glad we're on the phone now, because now that we know all that we know about this organism, this multi-celled organism known as Donald Trump, let's look back. Now that we know about his drug abuse, his narcissism, his psychopathy. And I'm going to say psychopath now, because remember, he's been inciting violence.
Yes. Okay, then let's add another to the list. Stochastic terrorist.
Thank you. You see, this is why the folks who have something to lose have come forward. They've been telling us this. And I've been rereading this book, and it's already old. Like, copyright 2017, which means they had to start it, what, in 16 or 15?
Yeah.
You see, and now the Alzheimer's dementia is manifesting itself. So let me not get too far afield, because we should all be very concerned. We should be very concerned. Now, and wait, let me go far afield for a minute.
You go anywhere
these
you
bombings,
want to.
These bombings in Sri Lanka. Now, all of a sudden, we're hearing, well, we don't really know where they came from. Have you heard that?
Yeah.
You see.
Well, I also heard something else. And that is that there is a group of separatists, because Sri Lanka is a fairly complicated place. There are...
Absolutely.
There are the Tamils, and there are the traditional Hindus, and there's a subset of there are Hindus, there are Buddhists, and then there's a Muslim minority.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the Muslim minority has, according to at least some reporting I saw, been weaponized via monies poured into their community by the royal, serene, noble, high graciousness, Kingdom of Saudi Arabia.
Oh, boy.
And so if you're not hearing much about causation, it might be because it was brought on by the royal, serene, noble, high graciousness kingdom of bloodthirsty Saudi Arabia. Because, you see, one of the biggest problems in that region is that Saudi Arabia desperately wants to be the hegemon. And it doesn't matter if they have to murder people in women and children in Yemen, or if they have to slaughter people observing Easter in Sri Lanka.
Mm-hmm.
They want to be the hegemon. It seems highly unlikely that it would have been the Iranians. It doesn't fit.
No, that's how, what you're saying is highly logical, because the Wahhabism that we influenced,
ding 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 ding,
way back
ding
in the 80s, see, that shit was dead until we influenced it. And I hate to go to a movie, because if you know that, if you were around, you didn't need the movie. And I'm just gonna say the letters C W. And watch that movie, and you know it's pretty true to life. Now, they brought a lot of good weed over here, but you know, a lot of good stuff over here. But that, you know, it was a problem. It was a problem, and we awakened Wahhabism in Saudi Arabia during during our injection of what we wanted.
Well, there's always been an implicit agreement between the House of Ibn Saud and the Wahhabists, that the Wahhabists would do the dirty work of providing the religious underpinnings of what of the Saudi the Saud power base.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Wahhabists and their religious police are as big a bunch of thugs as any secret police anywhere on the planet. Hell, maybe worse.
Maybe
they cut off babysitters' heads in the public square.
They don't answer anyone.
Nobody.
So, where I'm leading, I'm just seeing different tendrils here, and it's not comforting. There's unrest in the world. Unrest. I mean, that is a hell of a lot of people. I mean, damn. The people, plus people of wealth, people of stature, tourists, and remember, see, in Great Britain, over there, a lot of folks go to Sri Lanka. They go to the Pacific Rim for vacation. Remember, a lot of those folks got lost in that tidal wave.
Well, the richest man in Denmark lost three of his four children on Easter Sunday in Sri Lanka.
Mm-hmm.
So, oh, by the way, you just got a note in from Clarence. Subject line, Earth Day.
Clarence, what's up, man?
Subject line, Earth Day. Tell Todd I was at the first Earth Day rally on the Belmont Plateau, Fairmont Park, Philadelphia.
Oh, shit.
I had just returned from Vietnam. I think the band Redbone was there for the concert around 1970. I remember seeing Ira on the stage. His story is unbelievable.
Man, yo, Bob, I'm telling you, and the plateau must look beautiful now. Yo, this is out West Philly, right? Like, this particular part of Fairmont Park was built for this centennial. And I'm not going to get too far adrift, but, I mean, if you haven't been there, it's beautiful. Like, there are all these little rolling little roads through this beautiful park. You're in the middle of a fucking fucked up part of the city, but that's a refuge. All you see is, like, old men and
I mean, you just park your car. The police don't mess. As long as you don't hurt anybody, you can do whatever the hell you want out there, right? And you're out in the park, man. It's like park. Central Park ain't shit compared to this. I'm telling you. And in the plateau, you can see the Center City skyline. And now Comcast has two towers and all those new hotels downtown. Shit. I'm just saying, it's, man, that's the fucking shit. It's the fucking, and they have a Japanese tea house out there. Man, don't fuck with me.
A tea house?
All right. A Japanese tea house. An original, they, listen.
I mean, with the ceremony and the robes and on the knees and the wiping of the cup and the passing the cup and the...
Yeah. See, this is why you need to take the Viking warrior princess. I'm telling you, man, it's a lot of stuff to do. It's a lot of stuff. It's man, look, it ain't no joke. That Japanese tea house, you see, you have to look in the paper. You can pull up online when they will take you to the whole ceremony as opposed to a tour. But I'm trying to describe that whole part of Fairmount Park because, remember, like, you know, if you're over a bike ride, they used to have, like, the core stage bike race. And it would go through the whole city, and you go up through these hills. See, it's like these wonderful little meandering hills and valleys. And it's like, because, you know, Philly's a roll-out city, man. It's tight, tight, tight. You know what I mean? And it gave people a refuge. For instance, I used to run a lot of ball at 33rd and Diamond. And that's like two blocks from one of the houses that Coltrane used to live in. And, you know, some of these row houses, they look small on the outside. There's a basement, three floors. When you get inside, it's expansive. You know, they're nice inside, man. And overlooking the park? Shit. Man, it ain't no joke. And, you know, North Philly gets a bad rap. There's parts that are very – I never had any trouble. I had more trouble in South Philly, man. South Philly ain't no joke. South Philly ain't no fucking joke. You got to roll deep. That's all I'm saying. South Philly ain't no joke. You need to roll deep, unless you know somebody. But North Philly, you know, there's different parts. Like the Badlands part, I told you, I lived there for a year. No, you don't want to do that. I mean, you have to not give a fuck. Like, you got to be ready to not give a fuck, if you know what I mean. Like, you better, it's going to be you or them. And, you know, you got to be ready to take a life. But other parts of North Philly, man, it's community. I mean, it may look all fucked up, but people know who's there, who's not. So, you know, country folk don't understand that. So, let me get back. Let's get back.
Yeah,
I'm
sure.
Sorry. Let's get
no, it's okay.
Clarence, man, you got it. Damn, Clarence. I know Clarence has seen Parliament fucking Delos, too. I can tell that shit. All right. He's going to respond. Watch.
Most likely.
That's what I said. Please continue, Bob.
No, you. Just that, because you were talking when I interrupted you with Clarence's note.
Okay, so I believe we're talking about this Wahhabi.
Yeah.
Right. So this is not looking good, because I'm seeing, I honestly, the trend I'm seeing is, you know, and I don't want to sound like Alex Jones and shit, but we have a mentally ill fascist in charge with his minions in place. We've had a coup. The coup has taken place. Let's get that out. Let's get this fucking on the table. Can we all agree there's been a coup?
I think the Mueller report says that there was one. The Mueller report says that the Russians undeniably meddled in our electoral process, and the Trump campaign was happy to have the help. Now, for me, the thing that just made me want to eat dirt and run rabbits was the part where Junior doesn't get arrested because Junior is deemed to be too stupid. And let me know.
Why do you read my mind like that, man?
Yeah, I know. Get out of it. No, it's a Tracy thing. Just get out of my head. But you let me know.
I'm serious. I'm not fucking
let me
you,
know
man.
The first. Let me
let,
no. Let me know the first time a poor person, a black person, a Hispanic person. Let me know the first time the cops say, "Well, yeah, it's pretty clear you violated the law, but it's obvious you're too stupid to have known you were doing it." Go and sin no more. Just move along. Nothing to see here. Bye now. Because it has never, in the entire history of the United States, it has never happened to this goddamn day.
Man. Once again, a signature of a coup.
Right. Extraordinary things taking place that that a functioning legal system would otherwise look at and go, oh, no.
These operatives must stay in place no matter what. He's an operative.
Sure he is.
You see, he's an operative.
And did you happen to notice, because you and I on a number of occasions have talked at some considerable length about Maria Butina. Remember Maria?
Mm. I don't mean that in a good way, because I thought she was very unattractive. But anyway, yes, that has nothing to do with nothing.
She's been convicted, and she's facing an 18-month prison sentence, so they're doing all their pre-sentence investigation reporting.
18 months?
Yeah, and she will be sentenced, let's see, she'll be sentenced Friday by U.S. Mm-hmm. District Judge Tanya S. Chutkan of
what?
The... Tanya S. Chutkan of the D.C. of the D.C. Federal Court.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. Here's the takeaway quote from the pre-sentence.
Oh, God.
While Butina was not a traditional spy or trained intelligence officer.
Wait a minute. Why didn't you give me some warning before you just come hard, like, with this hard turn, and my head is on the windshield and on the passenger side window, and you're driving. I'm like, man, you know, you should have told me we're going through a serpentine.
Serpentine, Sheldon, serpentine.
not a traditional spy.
Yeah, she didn't have her... she didn't have her Natasha black coat and little black purse. No. While Butina was not a traditional spy or trained intelligence officer, her actions bore all the hallmarks of an intelligence operation to target powerful individuals in a future presidential administration for recruitment later, prosecutors wrote. The value of this information to the Russian Federation is immense. Such operations can cause great damage to our national security by giving covert agents access to our country and powerful individuals who can influence its direction. Now, bear in mind, all this was said in regard to her infiltration of, drumroll please, the National Rifle Association and the National Day of Prayer Breakfast.
Ding.
Yeah. Just in case anybody's wondering.
So, I'm glad you brought that up. So why are not people talking about this connection here?
Well, what that tells me is that the country is 17 shades of all mold up. And truly, it is the National Ruble Association and the Russian Prayer Breakfast.
Well, look.
I mean, you got any evidence with which to counter that?
I don't. All I can say is that now we look back. Let's look way back. I want to look at the drug abuse thing for a minute. Just for a minute, I want to go way back. Because, I mean, and I'm not trying to pat myself on the shoulder, but, you know, and I've been listening and participating for a while. But you remember, I pegged him as a sociopath when he was running. You remember that?
Yes, I do.
Before anyone was talking about it. And this was during the Bertha thing. And then, you know, and I don't understand, and I have to go to the mental illness thing, because this is like we're dealing beyond politics now. We're dealing with someone who's an asset and who's mentally ill, and we don't know what's see, the Russians, the Eastern Europeans, have always been on the forefront of mind manipulation, chemically, psychologically, behaviorally, in every way. That they've always been good. They've always been better at propaganda than we have. You know, we're all about just making shit. Let's do it, make some money. You know, move forward. You know, we don't think. Not them, because they came from a feudal society. I'm not saying that's why, but I'm saying they came from a different type of society where only the elites had the privilege of even learning how to read. You know, having the privilege to fuck with some dogs and, hey, let's look at this dog's stomach. You know, who the hell had time to do that shit?
Right.
You know, so these folks have been doing this shit for a long motherfucking time. And I'm cursing, and it's degrading from my message, but I don't give a fuck. It's just very exasperating that we are in this place now.
And it seems like we're powerless to deal with it. That's why I keep coming back to this whole constitutional crisis thing, because a constitutional crisis is what happens when the Constitution has no mechanisms with which.
What the fuck is up with Bonnie and Clyde, Bob? Bonnie and Clyde. You know, in the morning, Bonnie and Clyde.
Oh,
that's my new name for them.
That's good. I like that
a
lot. Yeah, you get a bell. Yeah, no. Bonnie and Claude. C-L-O-D.
Bonnie and Claude. That's rough. Oh, man.
Well, apparently they've gotten under the Mar-a-Lago Mussolini's thin orange skin. Because he was tweeting at Claude this morning.
Wait a minute, psycho! Wait, what was it? Come on,
yeah, psycho, yes.
Oh, that was classic. I just happened to, man. But yeah, because they were talking about the question on the census today.
And by the way, from all appearances, you remember how John Roberts struck down the Voting Rights Act because he declared there's no more racism in America?
How could I forget? It's indelible.
Well, it looks like they're ready to give Trump the ability to put a citizenship question on the census, which will completely screw up the census of 2020 and make sure that districts remain whiter than they otherwise would be.
I got no argument there. All it does is aggravate me. You know, that's what I'm saying. You know what? If you have not, matter of fact, everyone right now, anyone who's listening, run to the store. Get your little fascist khaki suit now. It's summertime. But if you have enough in the bank, go ahead and get your winter set, because there's a different set of boots you're going to need to. Because we're all just fall in line. This easy thing.
The key to fascism is keeping your head down and letting the fascists go after whoever they want to go with, so maybe they won't come after you. It's really not a good long-term strategy, Todd. It's not a good long-term strategy because eventually they do come for you.
That's where we fucking wait, man. That's where we are. I'm sorry. I'm not doing it, but I'm saying that's where we are. You heard these motherfuckers. Now, you listen. Even climate change. Every morning you hear, well, God bless Donald Trump. I'm like, what in the fuck are you? What? Washington Journal is a living history lesson.
I think that's fair.
Everyone should listen to Washington. You don't have to get up. You listen to the podcast. You don't have to subscribe. Go to the website if you have internet. If you don't have Frontier, then you got to go out and crank up the machine and do whatever the fuck you got to
climb the pole, baby. Climb the pole.
Yeah, Frontier. That's some fucked up shit, man. When I saw that commercial for Frontier, I was like, you got shit. Really?
Oh, but in case people didn't know what we were talking about, Marcus Aurelius went off on a rage twoop this morning, and the language is always just beautiful from an art of word knowing standpoint. sorry to say.
Are you going to describe it in a great way?
Sorry to say, but at Fox and Friends is by far the best of the morning political shows on television. It rightfully has, by far, the highest ratings, not even close. Morning Psycho Joe, who helped get me elected in 2016 by having me on free all the time, has nosedived to capital A angry, capital D dumb, and capital S sick. A really bad show with low ratings, and will only get worse. CNN has been a proven in long-term ratings and beyond disaster. In fact, it rewarded Chris Cuomo with a now unsuccessful primetime slot, despite his massive failure in the morning, only on CNN. He's gone.
You know, I almost vomited, man.
The best part of it is the beginning. Sorry to say. So he's sorry to say that Fox and Friends, that means that there's really nothing worth watching on in the morning. And the best of it is two dweebs and a blonde in the middle.
Man, you know what?
I don't like it. Wait. I don't like admitting that this stupid fuck is right about anything. But in one sense, he is. Mark this down.
Oh, 23rd
of April, 2019. 7:47 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Bob Kincaid said Donald Trump was right about something.
Motherfucker. Go ahead.
Joe helped get me elected in 2016 by having me on for free all the time.
Oh, he did. He's right. Oh, he's that mother. Yup. Ding. I'm sorry. I shouldn't do it. Yes. Yup. Yup.
It's not just them, it's the entire for-profit media universe, any of whom were happy to take his call because they thought it was funny. You know, the same way that New Yorkers for a generation thought it was funny how Trump would go on and talk about his sexual Vietnam with Howard Stern.
Mm-hmm.
It was funny.
It was funny.
And it was
funny how he had that woman in Atlantic City that really wanted to hold on to her house, right? Her little A-frame house that she probably bought for $8,000. And, you know, he wanted to make a parking lot, and she just wanted to be there, die in her house, and, you know, and put her through all that misery.
Yeah, fuck her.
Okay, and you know what? Fire hose, right. I remember you brought that up one time, and the other people have been saying this stuff. Our system was not set up for this type of multi-celled organism to be in control, except that maybe, and like I said, you know, maybe, man, the power elite wants them in control.
And I mean, Joe tried to
get off with him.
No, Joe tried to clap back, but he really doesn't.
Sorry.
You know, he really doesn't have the skill set. Did he tweet? I'm dumb and sick too? That makes me sad, Donald. I've been so intimidated by this. I'm not going to talk about how the Donald's poll numbers just keep collapsing. They're at an all-time low. It makes me very sad. So I'm a psycho. I'm dumb and I'm sick.
He didn't have it, man. That was a softball. He could have hit. He could have pounded.
Well, but whoever's in the booth really is the brains of the outfit, because when they came back from break, the Chiron on the bottom of the screen read "Morning Psycho responds to loyal viewer." That was good.
That was beautiful. Yeah, more, I'm sorry. Yes, more. That was the whole point of right. That was the whole point of the story. And then, so Joe was like, "Well, you know, you could have done a lot more with that. I put it like that. You could have done a lot more with that. You know, even with a tie-dye T-shirt and some nice khaki shorts. You know what I mean? And you know, in a comfortable type of way." He did have a nice jacket on. Joe did have an. I like that jacket. I would wear that sport coat. But his shit was weak.
I don't think he gets to pick his own clothing.
How the fuck does he have a show? Honestly, I mean, look, I'm not hating on him. I'm just saying I could do better than that. How the fuck does he have a show?
Well, if Don Imus hadn't made that nappy headed hose comment, he wouldn't.
Okay, let's revisit his apparent stimulant abuse. Like, you know, because use and abuse are different things.
Right, right.
So now that see, this Nancy Reagan fucked everything up in terms of drugs. Because people abuse coffee, people abuse chocolate cake, people abuse cannabis. Anything can be abused. Use and abuse are two different things. And this is just empirical. You know, this, what I'm saying is true. It's just, you know, it's just some people have addictive personalities or whatever they call it, however you want to label it.
Right.
But, you know, at the end of the day, Nancy Reagan, you know, that just say no shit with the frying on the egg. In the midst of what Bob Barr condoned, this asshole, you know, that's what I'm saying. We've had a coup. But let me get off on this tangent. All right. So this is what I'm saying. Now, why? Now that we know, right, why was this orange multi-celled organism who's mentally ill and presenting with clear signs of Alzheimer's dementia, why was he lurking behind Hillary Clinton on that stage like that? Now that we look back, and he was sniffing, he was jacked the fuck up.
Oh, sure he was.
Yeah. Now I look back, I'm like, I would have been frightened if I were she.
And you know what? The whole election may have changed.
Right up
the whole election might have changed had she simply turned around and said, "Get away from me, you creepy motherfucker."
You know, I hope everyone looks at that. That shit, now that we know about him, now that we know, he is a. And that's, you know, look at the whole pattern. How many wives even file and say that my husband, you know, assaulted, you know, tried to rape me and assault me, and then had, you know, has missing hair, both of them, you know, it was just a knockdown drag out. That's some
keeps
crazy
Hitler's
shit.
Speeches on the night table.
This is a problem. This is a real fucking problem. And so, you know, I'm not trying to draw you into this measles outbreak, but are you a vaccinator or a vacillator? What are you doing now?
How do you mean?
Okay. It was a wonderful joke that was made. Well, I'm not going to rewind that far. All right. So I've been contending this for a while. Forever. I've always said this. Remember, Al Green, there are at least two or three lawmakers in the House who have already started drawing up articles of impeachment. And really, the only thing keeping them on simmer is the Speaker of the House. But in addition, there are new infractions every day. It's just like add to the list. Like if you want to get someone fired.
I know it probably marks me out as a neoliberal establishment shill, a centrist motherfucker, but I really would like to have every last piece of evidence when it comes time to draft the impeachment resolution. Not just
we're never
going to
get that.
A tenth
Wait
of
a
it.
Minute. How is that going to happen, Mr. Kincaid? How is that going to happen?
What?
Now, I say that, and I'm not fucking with you.
I want to have all we can have, because if you impeach solely on the basis of the Mueller report,
mm-mm.
You've got a tenth of what he's already done.
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about what they already had. They already, listen, Maxine Waters knows what she's talking about because she's on that type of committee. She's already seen, you know. Like,
I mean, can we not, can we at least wait? Can we at least wait till we get our hands on his taxes?
We're not going to see that. They see it.
If it proves to be massively criminal, it can be part of an impeachment proceeding.
Let me ask you this: you know goddamn well, as someone with a legal background, that investigation was rushed up. There was so much evidence coming out of Roger Stone and other people. That there is no way that investigation is over. Now, if he parsed it out to New York State, Virginia, D.C., Maryland, anywhere else, that might be one thing. But even still, how do you see that? I don't see how that ends the investigation.
I don't say it. I'm not saying it ends it. I'm saying that it adds to it. I mean. What about the stuff that the Southern District of New York has investigated?
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's what we have to worry about. This is why he will not leave. He knows he cannot, like, and I know you intimated that, well, and he might ride through now. We don't know. It's been a coup. He has the whole, the judges. But you see, he's scared to leave office, but maybe he's just waiting around long enough. So he feels like he has his minions in
control. No, I understand that completely. But I'm at the point where if it's what it takes to unify Democrats, let's impeach his ass. I'm not so silly or simple that I think that we're ever going to get the Senate to convict, because even though I get in terrible trouble when I try to cipher Todd, I can count on my fingers and toes. All right?
Right.
And I mean, we could do the exercise right here right now and just start naming senators who will never vote to convict him, and we will get to 34 senators and then it's over. So that means impeachment means impeachment means nothing.
All right. Well, it's going to be motherfucking something on the history books. And let me tell you what is infuriating. That this fucking shill asshole that we have as the chief law enforcement officer, whose name will not be mentioned, actually said, well, we're going to have, I'm paraphrasing, he's going to investigate the investigator. All right. Now, if they had not investigated that, they would have been not doing their duty. They had not been doing their due diligence. So that being said, now that we know what we're dealing with the snakes. And let me say this very quickly. That this multi-celled orange organism during the campaign said in excess of 2 times the snake story. And all the black Christians out there, you know what that means. That motherfucker went out of his way to tell that motherfucking story, which means you knew I was a snake. It's like you know I'm a pimp, bitch. Why are you fucking with me? I'm gonna turn you out. You knew I was a snake. That he told on himself out loud, and this is what mentally ill sociopaths and psychopaths do. They'll tell you what they're gonna do. Oh, you know. I'm going to go home, I'm going to fuck your wife, and then I'm going to shoot you dead. Yup. And they'll laugh. And he'll be like, oh, that motherfucker's crazy. Yes, they're crazy.
And dangerous.
He told us. All these old black women, they know the snake story. You ask them around what the snake story is. I know somebody's hitting the fucking keyboard right now. So that's just one little tidbit. That's what we're fucking dealing with. So we got to shut this shit
down.
Well,
let me offer you the Clarence's thoughts on this.
Don't offer me shit.
Here's my spin, says Clarence. I think the reason for Trump not being taken down for all his crimes is because the check cleared. The $1 trillion tax cut has even settled his wealthy enemies. I hate to think this way, but there are some wealthy progressives who love this tax cut. Trump will fall when the memo is sent from the ultra-rich for him to go. I think the memo will be sent after the Senate completes filling the courts with lifetime appointments. Once he has served his purpose. But, we've opened the door on this, so you tell me.
Well, that's kind of what I've been into.
The you tell me part is, do we impeach? Do we impeach if it unifies the Democratic Party and makes us stronger going into 2020? Let me finish the question, Todd.
Okay, I'm sorry.
That's all right.
Okay.
Do we impeach if we think it'll unify the Democratic Party base? Do we impeach even though we know it's going to fail in the Senate?
Well, that's a philosophical question.
The impeachment clause doesn't say shall, it says may.
Mm-hmm.
And that's important. It's entirely a matter of choice.
Shall is imperative, like you have to. May is,
right.
Well, you have a choice.
Yeah. It's imperative versus permissive.
And shall has been coming up a lot lately. That's a hell of a word. That's the old English word saying, motherfucker, you got to do this shit.
Right.
I mean, that's where that comes from. But, let me slow down. Maybe I'm sounding too... I'm just very irritated right now because I'm feeling like this fascist coup has taken over.
Wait a minute. I'm wrong. Wait a minute. I'm wrong.
What?
The president, vice president, and all civil officers of the United States shall be removed from office on impeachment for and conviction of treason, bribery, or other high crimes and misdemeanors. The problem is the shall...
What article? Where are you in the document?
I'm in the Constitution. Article 2, Section...
I know. Where are you in the document?
Article 2, Section 4.
Okay.
But the thing is, what the shall means, shall refers to the being removed. It does not refer to whether or not to do the impeachment.
Okay. Oh, wait a minute. Well, that goes back to your remedy then. Shall be removed by the remedy that you proposed.
Oh, the 25th Amendment?
Right.
And by the way, Stephen, New York says, you know what we're seeing here? This is Watergate with the added echo chamber of Fox News. Nixon never would have resigned if Fox News had existed back then.
How much? Okay, there's a lot. And I know everybody has an opinion on this. And I mean, you have the legal mind, but where are we to go? There's a lot. I mean, we have these federal society judges, who believe in saying if you believe them, then I'm supposed to still be a slave and I'm three-fifths of a person and all kinds of nonsense. They're originalists, then that means that, if you're an originalist, that means that really regular folks shouldn't vote. Unless you're a billionaire or a millionaire, you own a lot of land or property, maybe you shouldn't even vote. I mean, that's who really voted back then. That's who were the governors. The governor meant you had a lot of land. And, you had stake in the ground. That's the way I interpret American history. But you see, this taint—he has to have some taint, and even if we know it's not going to go through the Senate. That doesn't even matter. The point is that minions, his Borgish minions, need to see the evidence, because some of those folks can be reached, many can't, because it's not just about the Great White Hope. It was about blowing up the system. And that's why we talked about that early on. That's why it was like Bernie and Trump were the biggest, were the most popular runners. And this is a whole nother show, but we got to clean up the DNC. What the hell is going on with these people, man? Tom Perez is a weakling. What the fuck is he doing? Man, all this chaos. I told you this shit 2 months ago. There's too many motherfuckers running. Fuck this shit. There's too much confusion. Now, come on. Respond, please.
Frustrating, isn't it?
That's all you have to say?
No, but I mean, I think that's enough. It's infuriating.
So now I'm back to my power elite theory. They want him in there. Like you said, they want him in there. Like Clarence said. So this is what's happening. There's a shift. There's something going on that we don't even fucking know about.
There's a degree of power consolidation going on here that I don't think many of us are aware of. And we don't come back from this, okay, Todd? Let's be clear about that.
We don't. That's what's scary. We don't. We don't. This is a whole new game board. And I heard you guys talking about risk, man. Oh, my God. The other night, wow, I was like, yeah, risk. Yep. And now we got, this is like the pickings are right. We've got a whole lot of stupid people who can be manipulated, and the power elite, they're just doing what they want to do. They have a mentally ill puppet. Right after this black guy had the audacity. He was so narcissistic that he could think he could be president, and he was. It's something bigger going on here. I this is going to sound crazy, but is it aliens? Are we just trying to? Are people just trying to like come together in a weird fascist way against an alien?
No. I mean, I think I would probably feel a little better if it was aliens. It ain't aliens. It's fascists, and it's happening all over the globe. I don't know
it's
if you're
fascist.
I don't know if you saw the stupid thing last week where some guy interviewed Steve Bannon about the monastery that he's bought in Italy, where he's going to train an entire generation of fascists to oppose liberal Western democracy for 100 years. He's been invited by the Alternative für Deutschland, the right-wing neo-fascist party in Germany, to address them. He's busting his ass to try to raise fascist fortunes in the EU elections, the EU parliamentary elections coming up, Steve Bannon, all of this. It is global. It's no less global than it was when it was rising in the 1920s and the 1930s.
And well, that's what I'm worried about.
But the historical difference is that back then, we had the Charles Lindberghs and the Henry Fords and the IBMs more than happy to do business with Germany, whatever. The Bush family wrapped up with Brown Brothers Harriman and supporting Hitler's Angel. But we did. But the government of the United States was not in the hands of the fascists, and that's where it is now. Okay? Steve in New York just sent me a note and said, we do impeach. You know how I feel about conviction. However, if we don't, then the Constitution means nothing, definitively. So if the House doesn't impeach, we have no argument or statement regarding the nation of laws versus nation of men garbage. If we do impeach, there's at least a reason to salvage the Constitution. If not, there's none. We're at the Animal Farm or Harrison Bergeron.
Man, Steve Stephen Muir. Mm. Yes, sir. Yep. Love that.
Monique just asked, when someone sues, don't you get to depose them? So Stupid 45 can be deposed by Elijah Cummings? In regard to the subpoena for the accounting records, probably not.
What happened with that? Today was the deadline. What happened with that?
Well, no, I mean, Cummings is already subpoenaed, and the Trump Organization sued him personally and his chief investigator. And so it goes to the court, and Trump's going to lose. And what he's hoping is that he can lose all the way to the Supreme Court when PJ and Squee, I mean, Kavanaugh and Ann's boy Neil and Clarence Pubes on the Coke can Slappy Thomas and Alito and John Roberts will pull his fat out of the fire and say, no, you can't see his filthy accounting records.
Oh, God, I wish you hadn't brought that up. You know, when Ruth Bader
did I lose you?
Everyone is going to beat him. And like you said, we have to take back the Senate. That's what we have to work on. We got the House now. We need to keep the House. But this bullshit, and look what happened in the 9th District of North Carolina. I would encourage everyone to read the Charlotte Observer online at the top of their paper. And I believe it's a McClatchy paper, but however, at the top of their paper online, they'll give you the online, like the play-by-play of what's going on with this 9th District, because that's a microcosm of what's going on in our country. This is how we got to where we are. You know, this is why we have to support the state compact that circumvents the Electoral College, because that was our safety valve, and they failed. They failed. They absolutely failed. They failed a few times. And we don't need them anymore. This is not useful. It's not. And we still have most Americans think one person, one vote on a federal level. They really believe that. You know, they like when they win, you know, out in the farm or whatever. Hey, we won it. You know, and then it's.
I know. I mean, look. What is it? What is it? Henry V says, "Once more unto the breach, dear friends, or shut up their walls with our English dead." Shakespeare's so good for this. Cry havoc and let slip the dogs of war. In other words, let's just get it on. And let's just get it on and see where the chips fall. And, you know, if we take our best shot and we don't get rid of him, and if he gets stronger and we get him for another 4 years and we get an even meaner, more vindictive Republican Congress out of it, at least we stood up for the Constitution, by God. And we'll stand up like stand-up folks, and we'll take our licks. And we'll let them beat the shit out of us.
You're firmly on the side of impeachment now. You're firmly on that side now. I hear you.
Yeah, let's just do it. Burn, baby, burn.
Well,
burn it all down.
They're going to be angry. This is what I'm saying. They're going to be angry anyway. They're angry and ignorant. They are going to be angry anyway. It doesn't matter. And see, this is the lynch.
No. I mean, look, I mean, let's just do it. Fuck it. Let's just do it. And if 40 million people lose their fucking health care out of it, too bad for them. And if people who get a goddamn dollar a day to eat and preserve their miserable lives lose that dollar a day, fuck them too. Let's impeach, by God.
Well, you're assuming that's going to happen.
Well, it is going to happen. Why when it's going to it's going to happen when he gets reelected and an even meaner, more vicious Congress takes over. It is going to happen. Not if, when.
I don't think so. I think his mental illness is going to take over. But the problem is that we have,
well, then Pence gives this lovely speech about how we must now go forward in the memory of the greatest president who has ever lived and complete his dream for making America white. I mean, great again.
Yeah, he's no prize. Well, you know what, man? Are you saying we're just fucked? That's what you're saying. It doesn't matter.
This is one of those moments.
Look, I mean, all right, we don't impeach. All right, fine, all right.
No, wait. I'm not saying that. I mean, I think we're on the right track. Let's expose him with all of it, and when the shit comes out, then all those chairs of all those committees, Chairman Cummings, and Chairman Adi Maxine, and Chairman Schiff, and Chairman Grijalva, and Chairman Nadler, and they all go to Nancy, and they say, we can't hide from this.
No, and let me stop right here. The most presidential one of the most presidential people I've seen in the past few years is Adam Schiff. Calm, cool, collected. And if you look on the committees that he's on and has been on, he's very restrained. He knows shit he cannot talk about. That's why he's so emphatic about what he's saying. See, people got to connect some dots here. That motherfucker knows what he's talking about. That's why he's disgusted. And so does Maxine. And now Maxine's a little wacky, sure.
I don't think she is. I think she's deadly in earnest.
But she knows too.
Hang on. I'm gonna merge a call here.
Uh-oh.
I don't know if I merged it or not. Are you there, Tracy?
Hello.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, cool. It worked.
I didn't.
Yeah. The
how y'all doing?
I don't know. I think Todd and I are going not so quietly insane right now.
Well, you know, I mean, we're in dire straits. I don't even think dire straits isn't even close to what's happening right now. But, you know, I was listening to you guys about the impeachment and should we impeach and whatnot and so forth. And again, I mean, like, of course you're right. There's not a scintilla of a chance that Mitch McConnell would vote to, you know, to convict and all that good stuff.
Right, and I even heard from earlier today, I was told that Randy Rhodes said on air today that she wouldn't be surprised if Mitch McConnell refused to even hold a trial in the Senate.
Well, this is the same man that kept Obama from getting a Supreme Court justice. He said, fuck you, we're not having hearing.
Fuck you and your Constitution.
I mean, and your constitution, you know, you might as well use it to wipe your ass like you're using it for toilet paper. That's basically the gist of what I'm saying. But here's my take on impeachment and whatnot and so forth. And this is coming from not a constitutional scholar or somebody that's a political science, whatnot and so forth person. I'm coming to you as a scared woman, mother of a black man.
Yeah.
I'm coming to you as just a black person in this country, as a lesbian in this country, as a woman in this country. This man is open season on people who look and walk and talk like me. This is open season.
Can't argue with you for a second.
It's open season on anybody that is not a rich white man. It is open season. And if we have to impeach, but if nothing else, if we just keep hammering and investigate this shit out of his ass, because there are, you know, it's going to come, it may just come to that point, like somebody, you know, like you said, probably if Fox News had been around during Watergate, Nixon probably would not have resigned. But like I think it's what you said or somebody else said, Nixon had shame. this asshole does not.
Yeah,
have
one whole molecule of shame, but it was enough. Well, let me. Okay, Tracy, Todd, let me throw something out to you. And of course, I'm going to fall back on a sporting analogy because I can't help it because you know, mid-50s white male asshole.
He's doing shit about sports. Okay, go ahead.
Have you ever seen, you know, you're coming down to the end of a football game and it's neck and neck, okay? They're tied. And there's like 4 minutes left to go in the game. And all of a sudden, the one team just marches down the field and scores. And there'll be 3 minutes left on the clock. And you'll hear one of the commentators say, "Well, Bill, I'm afraid they scored too soon." Because right then and there, it looks like, well, damn, you know, they got this. But then, lo and behold, they got to kick off to the other team, and they take 3 minutes. They take that last 3 minutes, march down, score, get the 2-point conversion, and win. Because the other side scored too soon. Now, if you'll let me just play this out for a second. What if we investigate his sorry, crooked, criminal, dirty, mobbed up ass all the way to October 2020, and there's a Democratic nominee and there's a Republican nominee, and on about October the 20th, the House votes on and approves articles of impeachment. And the nation has watched a parade of corruption and criminality and venality and filth and slime for 18 months. And then they go to the polls. Maybe that's the opposite of scoring too soon. Maybe that's driving the tack right at the great, at the best possible moment. He's got 2 weeks to campaign. He's got 2 weeks to campaign on it, tops. Fuck him the way that James Comey fucked Hillary Clinton 2 weeks before the election in 2016. Exactly. You see what I'm saying?
Well, that's my point. That is exactly my point. If we have to, if the Democrats have to fucking drive this shit until October of 2020, so fucking be it. I mean, how many times was Benghazi and, like you said, the fucking emails, all but her emails. Fuck him. And the horse he rode in on with a red-hot fucking poker. I'm tired of these assholes. I'm tired of this, you know. See, it's no longer dog whistling. These motherfuckers got a dog, what you call it the other day, a dog horn. They are crying out to, they are rallying their base. They're saying, you know, we can kill people without impunity. We can do whatever the fuck you want because we got this motherfucker in office. No. And like you said, every dirty dealing, every PP tape, every abortion, every whatever the fuck they can find on his ass to the point where, okay, we can't have this person in office anymore. This is just, you know, everything that you thought was wrong with this man, he has to go. So if, you know, how long did they investigate Clinton for getting Lewinsky? How long did that shit go on?
Oh, Jesus, forever. Well, let me offer you another perspective, this courtesy of Les. Bush said, "The Constitution's just a goddamn piece of paper." Now we...
What?
George W. Bush said, "The Constitution is just a goddamn piece of paper." And it's true. He did say that. Now we have and this is Les speaking again. Now we have concentration camps and Nazis marching in the streets. Fascism isn't coming. It's here already. And I don't imagine it will take long before the killing starts. It doesn't matter if he's impeached or if he loses in 2020. He won't leave, and his supporters are ready for blood. Not saying he shouldn't be impeached. Trump absolutely must be impeached. But we on the left, especially those of us with melanin in our skin, better tool up and be ready for what's coming.
Oh, yeah. It is not going to be pretty. Because he's not going to, I do not believe this, but if he loses, if he's impeached or and removed from office, or if he loses in 2020, here's my fear, you know, because somebody's like, well, you don't have to worry about it because, you know, we got the military. How many of these assholes are in the military? How many of these assholes are in the, they have infiltrated the police. They have infiltrated the armed services. They are everywhere. It's like a fucking cancer. It is spreading. And there's not enough fucking radiation or chemotherapy to get rid of these people. So, like he said, I mean, I don't believe, I don't like guns and all that, but Alex and I were talking the other day about starting to can food and be ready.
Tracy.
To go underground.
Tracy, say what? Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
What did you say, Tom? I'm sorry. I was rattling. What did you say, baby?
All I want to know is why can't the impeachment filings and organizations and questions run parallel to all these investigations? The investigations should not stop because that should just fuel the paperwork for impeachment. So I see them working together. You know what I mean?
I figured that, like you said, impeachment would lead it. I mean, the investigations would eventually, like you said, there should be enough evidence for impeachment. But, you know, these, like you said, the investigation should not be stopping if they are stopping.
There's enough already there, really. But we just need to just pile it on just to make it so heavy. Make that hamburger so fucking nasty where you can't even eat it. It looked like a good hamburger at first, but now it's got onions and black olives and cheese, and you know it's got too much shit.
And avocado and chili. Apart. It's like, okay, it's just too much, you know.
Well, everybody,
got to get a knife and fork.
Everybody knows the old saying about the straw that broke the camel's back. A straw has almost no mass whatsoever. It's light. It's airy. And it's impossible to imagine it having sufficient weight to do any damage at all. But if you've got an orange camel with a basket on it, and you start dropping straws in those baskets, eventually, the reason
after
we have
straw,
that saying is that eventually there will be one straw that will collapse the spine of that orange camel. And that's what we're talking about
there
here.
Has to be
just to use another literary reference, in All the King's Men by Robert Penn Warren, there's a scene where the boss is sending his hatchet man out to do some digging on a political opponent. And the guy he's sending him out to dig on has spent a life that is purely upright. He's just lived at the foot of the cross all his life. Everybody knows what a moral, upright man of perfect rectitude the judge is. And he says, and the boss says, go find it, whatever it is, go find it. And his hatchet man, Jack, says, what if there's nothing? And the boss, who was rough in his ways, but wise, says the following. There is always something. From the stink of the deity to the stench of the grave, man is born in sin and dieth in corruption. There is always something. And so, remember, Watergate began as a little pissant nothing burglary that just happened to get the notice of a young reporter who went, And the next thing you know, he tugs at that thread and the sweater starts unraveling until the end of the thread winds up in the Oval Office.
Yeah.
But if the House had begun, impeachment proceedings over that Penny Annie second-rate burglary, it would have been laughed out of Washington, D.C. You right. had to find all the people that made that led to that moment. And eventually you get to Richard Nixon admitting that he knew and covered the whole damned thing up. Go ahead.
What? I was just, when you said about unraveling the sweater, I just remember there was a scene in Bosch. I think it was season 3. And this guy was investigating another cop. And one of his comrades is like, don't pull that string and unravel the sweater, because it's gonna wind up to your demise, not this other person. You know, so it's like you gotta think about if you're gonna pull that piece of yarn, if you're gonna pull that string, something's gonna unravel, and whatever unravels, you better be ready for it, because it might be the end of your ass.
I mean, among other things, let me just throw an idea out there. He would not sit down for an interview with Mueller, and Mueller didn't have the stomach for a court battle over a subpoena. Do you think Auntie Maxine might have the stomach for a court battle over a subpoena?
Fuck yeah. AOC? Yes.
Elijah Cummings? Adam Schiff? Yes. Gerald Nadler?
Oh, fuck yeah.
They have the power to put tremendous pressure on him that he cannot withstand. The man's been losing his mind for the last couple of weeks over things that aren't even, remember, at one point, the Mueller report totally exonerates me. And 2 weeks later, it's the crazy Mueller report and the 18 angry Democrats who are actually Republicans. I'm losing my fucking mind here, people. And now he's down to attacking a morning zoo crew TV host.
Yo, people, yo. You know what, Bob? You might be right, because that Cyclone, right? What is that? Whatever, this thing that runs along the bottom of the screen. Psycho. That's an imprinted. Remember, he sits up and watches TV. That's what he does. He doesn't work. That's his thing. He watches TV. And he saw that. He saw Clyde. Clyde said, hey, control room, put up psycho attacks. You know, I forget the rest of it. But anyway, you know what I'm talking about.
The psycho host addresses longtime viewer. Yeah.
Yes. Now, this is what the man, remember, he's very limited now. He's very limited. He's very narrow in his scope of what he can assimilate. So that is imprinting on his head now. Now he's like, oh my God, he's freaking out. So I see I see the dynamic, Bob, that you're saying. This pressure. Hey man, I didn't even get to that.
There are some places in nature where if you apply enough pressure and heat, you get a diamond. But there are other places where if you apply pressure and heat, you just get squished shit.
When they were doing, because I don't really remember, because I, in all honesty, when they were, fucking over Clinton during, when he did with the whole Monica Lewinsky thing. Did he come before Congress?
No.
Okay. But was he questioned at some point about it?
Work with me. If it gets to the point where there's a select committee on impeachment, they can vote a subpoena for the president. Okay? The House didn't do that during the cleanest hunt because they were afraid that Bill Clinton would come in there and wag that knuckle at them and make a complete fool of them, because they all knew, those Republicans did, that he was a hell of a lot smarter than they were.
Hell yeah. Well, Well, isn't he a Rhodes fucking scholar?
Yes. Trump isn't.
Okay, so he's no dummy.
So here's the thing. And we're just, you know, we're just brainstorming here. Let's say there's a Senate Select Committee on Impeachment. Or maybe it doesn't have to even be them. It can just be one of the standing committees conducting an investigation. And they say, well, you know, Mr. President, we don't want to be unfair to you. Come on down here and testify. You've testified in Congress before. The video's out there. Come on down here. We want to be fair. Give you a chance to clear your name. That motherfucker will implicate himself all over the place, and his lawyers will have to put him in a goddamn straitjacket to keep him out of there, because he's going to want the opportunity, especially if it's somebody like Elijah Cummings or Auntie Maxine, to yell at the Negro.
Oh, of course. Of course.
It will be...
Or Barbara Lee.
It will be... Well, I'm talking about committee chairs.
Oh, committee, okay.
But, it'll be catnip, you know, because I'm so much smarter, you know.
He won't be able to resist.
Right.
He won't be, like Todd said earlier.
By the end of it, it'll be Jack Nicholson at the end of A Few Good Men.
Yeah.
You can't handle the truth. You can't handle the truth. You don't want to make America great again.
And he'll collapse, and then, you know, or he'll collapse on the stand like Queeg in the Caine Mutiny. I had him with the strawberries.
May I just mention one thing here? I mean, and I have to go back to the fire hose analogy that we all must be cognizant of. There's just so much nonsense and disinformation and bullshit, and it's coming, you know, at a million PSI, and it's just it's hard to catch. Let's remember. The president's mouthpiece is not his lawyer, but his, you know, his media mouthpiece. The truth is not the truth. The truth is not the truth. These are the type of diabolical motherfuckers that we're dealing with. They have gotten control of our government. Motherfuckers, we have to wake up. We have experienced a slow, quiet, maybe not so quiet, coup. They're in charge. Look at the Supreme Court decision. Mar Liasson today, she said, well, you know, yeah, they were all very, you know, and she didn't say Seguin, but they were very, you know, they knew what they were going to vote on. So that question is on there. Now, that's the end of money for Sanctuary City. You see?
Yeah.
There's a whole lot of shit going on. But every day... And Tracy and Bob, and, you know, this is what, you know, we haven't mentioned, I don't think. I've heard tonight. But you see, and they danced around it with Bonnie and Clyde this morning. And they danced around it. They talked about it, but they danced the fuck. They talked about it a million times. We are in a constitutional crisis. When your subordinates do not fucking follow your orders, we're in a constitutional crisis. It's that fucking simple. What the fuck do you need to know? I'm talking like 18th and Emerald. I'm talking Kensington shit. Fucking gangsters know that. If your boys out there on the corner, if they ain't fucking, look, I told you, don't. No, you don't sell to him, you sell to him. You don't, and you in the alley. I lived in Kensington. That it's the same shit. Are you not fucking understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
No, it's like you said. I mean, these people, I mean, they do not, like you said, these people are running the country. And he, like you said, he probably just sits in his room in his underwear and his robe, tweeting and watching television. You know, he's, like you said, about yelling at the Negroes. He has been pissed off. Well, he's been pissed off at black people since Jump Street. But the ultimate pissed off was when Obama made fun of him at the White House Correspondents' Dinner. He is still mad about that. And how many years ago was that? Because how dare this ugly Negro talk? And like you said, Todd, it was just a joke.
He's ruminating.
Anybody that had any common sense and had, you know, an ounce of, you know, humanity about them, I mean, because they talked shit about George Bush left and right. Yeah, he's like, whatever. I'm still, you know, whatever. I'm still the president, whatever. But this man, he takes everything as a, you know, that thing about being a psychopath. It's like every, you know, it's all about me. How dare you talk about me because I'm so wonderful. I'm so perfect. But when other people see through your bullshit, you can't handle it because you know you're full of shit. But you're hoping that you can put on a big enough front that nobody else realizes it. But everybody else, you know, we're all peeped to his game. We know he's full of shit. We know he's crazy. And he can't handle that. He can't handle that everybody in this country does not adore his monkey ass.
Tracy, we're in trouble. And I crossed over into psychopath. And that's a big difference between sociopath and psychopath. You know. But when he pulled in, he said, "I know the people in the military and the police." That was it. I know you have my back. He was inciting violence with the law enforcement, military. He's a psychopath, and he was talking about inflicting harm on people. Now that's all it takes. We're in trouble. We're in trouble.
Your thoughts,
Bob? Yeah, no, I'm listening. Now I got a couple of notes here. By the way, while we've been talking, well, about three hours and 42 minutes ago, a deadline passed at 5 p.m. this evening. The Treasury Secretary decided to thumb his nose at a clear, unambiguous statute that has been constitutional for decades. They told the House Ways and Means Committee to fuck right off on their request for Trump's tax returns. Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin said, "The department cannot act upon your request unless and until it is determined to be consistent with law. Due to the serious constitutional questions raised by this request and the serious consequences that a resolution of those questions could have for taxpayer privacy, the department is consulting with the Department of Justice." Well, guess what? Guess what BARDA prosecution's going to say? This is a lawless regime. Yet BARDA prosecution is going to say, "Oh no, that'll be a violation of Donald Trump's privacy." But guess what? They put a lot of their own issues to bed. You remember back when they were having a hissy over the IRS and 501c3s
and Lois Lerner,
right?
Okay. And the Republicans and their little AstroTurf organization.
You said it right, the Russians.
I was very close, wasn't I? And they said, they're violating our... Well, a lot of these issues got put to bed back then. Somehow they're trying to wake them up, though. The chairman of the Ways and Means Committee is Richard Neal. He said it's not known yet what action the committee will take, but the delay or ultimate refusal could lead to a lengthy legal battle. I plan to consult with counsel about my next steps. See, here's the funny thing. There's a go-to-jail, go-directly-to-jail, do-not-collect-$200, do-not-pass-go clause in that statute. If you refuse a request, your ass goes to prison.
That's what I'm waiting for. I'm waiting for motherfuckers to go to jail because it's like, I mean, isn't that?
Yeah, but guess who has to prosecute?
Oh, fuck!
And when you hold somebody, when Congress holds somebody in contempt, they have to refer it to the Department of Justice for prosecution. And just as was the case in the Bush administration, the Department of Justice can simply say we decline.
So what? Okay.
Now, from a constitutional standpoint, if the House has any nerve, they can say, "Cool, you decline. No more budget for you."
There you go.
Because the Treasury Department, it cannot set its own budget. That is a prerogative the Constitution gives exclusively to the House, the purse strings. And so, I mean, that's within Congress's purview, if they have the courage to do it.
But the thing is, going
back to what we've been saying, this is all pressure that's mounting up because they're fighting, they're fighting a multi-front war. So now they're fighting the subpoena that was issued for Don McGahn. And they're fighting a subpoena for the and they're fighting a lawful request for taxes, and they're fighting a subpoena for accounting documents. And by the way, our buddy Thomas, who is experienced with this stuff, sent me a note last night after the program. I think the subject line was bingo. And he explained to me that I had, in fact, been correct. There it is. Subject line, bingo. If only it will open. There it is. Bob, accountants have no client privilege in the whole United States. The accountant's records belong to the client. Yet the accountant's knowledge is not privileged, nor his copy of the record. So that's not going to last. That's not going to last long at all.
Yeah, because it's like I've never understood how. I mean, I know because this is where I'm. You know about the whistleblower people. I know there has to be some patriots in, at the IRS. You know, there has to be some, you know, patriots in the Department of Justice and all this thing. That I'm just surprised that nobody has leaked anything, that nobody has leaked this tax return, that nobody has leaked the full unredacted Mueller report. Because, I mean, I just refuse to believe that there are people that knows how to get this information out to other people. But I can't imagine, I mean, I don't know if I would have the courage to do it, but I just can't imagine that there's not somebody, a couple of people sitting in their offices or their cubicles going, "Oh my fucking God, what are we doing? You know, what can I do to make, you know, I mean, can,
well,
I, just,
I think, I, Tracy, I, would, I think the first thing we have to do is breathe. Okay. We do. We've got to stop hyperventilating. That includes me. Here's an idea.
I keep a brown paper bag in my car.
Yeah. So what I said a little bit ago about not scoring too soon. Well, here's a variation on that theme. Darlene, a founding member of the sorority of Leans, says, "Here's something totally cray. What if the House holds all the public hearings on impeachment to its heart's content, drafts the articles of impeachment, but withholds the vote? Holds the articles in limbo or stasis with a public statement that due to the corruption in the Republican-controlled Senate, it won't carry out its constitutional mandate. Gamble on the Democrats taking a supermajority in the Senate and further solidifying its supermajority in the House in 2020, and then vote on the articles of impeachment to send to the Democratic-controlled Senate to try, convict, and remove as an insurance policy against Trump if he steals a second term." That's fucking brilliant.
That's that three-dimensional chess that y'all talking about.
No, I think, yeah, that's that 11.
That's a bad one.
Yeah, that's 11-dimensional. A couple other emails to share. Earther with a note: "The road to impeachment and conviction is paved with good investigations. I'm not against impeachment. I'm generally in favor of it. The road to impeachment is paved with good investigations. There hasn't been enough investigation yet. Really, anything can be spun, framed in a positive or negative light as needed. Yes, impeachment could energize Trump's voters, but it could also energize Democratic voters and turn off some independents and repugs. What will happen depends on the climate of the country at the moment it happened, if it happened. Most importantly, it would depend on how the mainstream media would portray it, and that's where Democrats are at a disadvantage, because the mainstream media is corporate and has a very well-known I-O-K-I-Y-A-R bias. And there's a big old amen to that. And that's one of the things I was pointing out the other night. Meanwhile, Lady B parks another one in the cheap seats, right over the fence. Perusing my favorite news aggregator site, and while listening to you and Todd, hey, Todd, and Tracy, whoa, let's see, Tracy and Todd, oh, suki suki now, says Lady B. I'm absolutely weary of being outraged by everything happening lately. Yeah, I got outrage fatigue, too. I know we all do. White racists are emboldened and acting up. Measles is spreading like wildfire because a bunch of coddled humans think 70 years of medical progress is a fairy tale that can be dismissed by the real experts on Facebook. Churches are being bombed again, and drug addiction and homelessness is getting out of control. And on that measles thing, by the way, yeah, I think she was a flight attendant on an Israeli Airlines flight. I don't think she's passed away yet. But she's unconscious and on a ventilator because her measles vaccination from eons ago wasn't enough. Everybody who got vaccinated in the 60s or 70s prior to like 1985 needs to consult, if you can afford to go to the doctor, consult with a health professional and find out, do I have immunity? The measles vaccine won't hurt you. Yeah. But the measles, if you're not immune, will kill you or can kill you. I know I learned this the hard way because I was vaccinated in the early 60s and I got the measles. And the measles ran all around my school and all around my town. And all the family physicians, and mine included, said, well, we just found out that the measles vaccine didn't take. So I'm immune to that kind of measles, but there are multiple kinds of measles. So that's just an aside to what Lady B was writing. But Lady B says, so yet again, the rule of law, which we both know has always been arbitrary, is yet again siding with sociopathic rich white guys. Problem is now that it's affecting more than black and brown people. No wonder everybody mad. That's spelled E-R-R-R-B-O-D-Y. Thank you, Lady B. Everybody. I should quantify what I said yesterday. I will probably vote for the Democratic nominee, but I'll be damned if my primary vote isn't going to the most socialist motherfucker to take a breath. I shit you not, Biden is not getting my vote. If I can't get a socialist, I'm voting for Warren. I hope to fuck we get that far. It can happen here. One other thing, Clarence is right. Wealthy liberals are loving their tax cuts. Nothing is more important than money when you're a billionaire. If they really gave a fuck, Trump would be impeached already. But we gaslight ourselves into believing we're the losers because we work for a fucking living and care about immigrants and the poor. Keep up the good work. Keep preaching, but don't let this kill your spirit. I'm not gonna. There's too many other things out there with the potential to kill my spirit. This ain't one of them. I think it has mine, Lady B says. It's sad folks like us got to care so much for people who don't really care about what's going on with this country and our way of life, but I guess that's our fate. But maybe someday I'll be rich and not have to care. I'll send you a million, Bob. You won't have to care either. Maybe then we can both know what it's like to not be an American and constantly filled with dread. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Yeah.
I want to know if Lady B knew Frankie Crocker.
If the answer is yeah. I'm sure Lady B will let us know.
I'm just saying,
by the blue,
that's a hell of a name.
The Blue Hen on Twitter says that Tracy's right. White House Correspondents' Dinner. That's where it all begins. And a note coming from Lee in New York. We know the impeachment reasons. We know he has destroyed official documents that have to be preserved. We know he met Russian officials in the White House without records. We know he has separated families at the border. We know his administration cannot unite parents and children. We know he has walked away from treaties without reason. We know he insults allies, and it ha- all caps, and it has not mattered. I truly believe it will be more years of the fake Democrat witch hunt. It will not sway anyone. Lee says, you know, that list reminds me of the Declaration of Independence. We have the grievances. It won't be the path to winning. That's sobering. I know.
This just, you know, let me get my bottle of Opapapit.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I keep one handy with the swirly straw. Monique just pointed out.
Hey, in California, look, we in California, you got to, well, in L.A. anyway, you got to start asking for straws if you want a straw.
Oh, I know, I know. We're doing that. We're doing that in some of the more enlightened places in West Virginia too. And now, for instance, they say if you need a straw, we will happily give you a straw, but it's going to be a compostable, biodegradable straw. And you know, it's kind of, I haven't got to that point yet. I got to thinking though, and you know, I remember when I was a little kid going to elementary school, you know, we got straws with our milk if we wanted a straw. And they were paper straws. And they would hold up just long enough for you to suck down a half a pint of milk.
And then after that, because I remember paper straws when I was growing up as well. There's a sandwich place. Well, if you ever bring your happy ass to California, to L.A., then I'm going to take you to the, you know, that purports to be the first where they invented the beef dip, you know, the beef dip sandwiches, Philippe's.
Oh, I want to go there. I want to go there. Oh, I want one of those French dips. Damn. Oh, you brought the food porn. You brought the food porn at the end. That's hard, Tracy. That's hard.
You know, so they have this lemonade. And so you had to drink that lemonade fast enough, because if you didn't, it was paper straw.
But you ever notice nobody wants it? You ever notice nobody wants a straw with a glass of beer or a glass of wine? Why is that?
I hope to God not. I have to have a straw. I mean, that's a beer. Even I'm not that big. Even I know better than to drink.
I always heard that drinking beer through a straw gets you fucked up faster.
Well, that's what they have when you go to the baseball games or whatever. Those guys that have the beer hats, and they have a can of beer on each side of the hat, and it's a one big straw. So you know, and when you do a beer bond, isn't that just one big old straw?
Yeah, well, yes, and it gets you fucked up in a hurry. By the way, we're on the way out the door here, but Monique just sent this along.
Oh, it's almost 6 o'clock.
Trump to Washington Post, no reason to comply with Congress. He is a law unto himself. He does. He thinks he has the power of a Caesar.
Can I ask you guys something?
Yeah, go ahead, Todd.
You remember Dick Cheney, he never, ever revealed what he was supposed to reveal about his meetings with the energy moguls. Remember?
Yeah.
Is this what we're dealing with?
This is what I don't understand. It's like it just boggles the mind. I mean, like I said, I was blissfully unaware. The first few, I didn't really become aware of politics and what's going on around me, and you know, until 2007, 2008, and so it just boggles the mind about when I hear about stuff like what you guys are telling about. And change and all the shit that's been going on, and like, and nobody's in jail, but a brother selling a $5 rock on the corner in South Central.
30 years.
Is still in jail for 30 years.
Oh wait a minute! Oh God, wait, I have you guys. Oh my God, both of you, seriously, Tracy and Bob. This is like as big as Webster Groves at 16. There is a documentary on YouTube, and it describes, I mean, like in depth, like it's painful to watch the transformation of Crenshaw, where this one white guy in the white administration, like the city administration, and he's staying in there, and he's like, yeah, well, it's different, you know, and everybody's moving out. I wish I could tell you the exact title right now. It's on YouTube. And Tracy, when you see this, I'm telling you, it's going to freak you out.
but it shows exactly what the city fathers of that Crenshaw district, because, you know, L.A. is different. You know what I mean? L.A. County is huge, and, you know, it's, let me not speak on that because I don't live there. I'm just saying historically. But that shit is fucking crazy. And you can see exactly what, how what happened happened. I mean, this is right before the riots. This is like, you can see what happened. This is like the one white guy left. And he's telling you. He's like, well, I don't have a problem with the black people, but it's everybody else. He's telling you exactly what the fuck is going on. This ain't no joke. This is fucking history. And, it, man, I'm telling you, you know, YouTube is documenting our lives. Honest to God. It is, you know, Google owns them now. But, man, YouTube ain't no joke. That's all I can say. It's a lot of bullshit on there, but, man.
Well, the other thing that becomes apparent is that the problems we face are not problems that are isolated to the places we used to think were the problem. It doesn't all happen in Alabama and Mississippi and Georgia and South Carolina, et cetera, Confederacy.
Mm-hmm.
The business with the woman screaming at the little children on Easter, that was, again, Springfield, Oregon.
You mean at the White House?
No. No. I'm talking about the racist white lady.
Sorry.
The racist white lady who dropped trout and mooned.
What?
Yeah, the racist white lady who dropped trout and mooned little children of color and their mama and her brothers and came on their property and were, you know, the police did come and arrest her.
They came up on the property.
Yeah. They were walking down the street shouting racist epithets on Easter Sunday morning. In Springfield, Oregon.
Oregon.
Oregon. Oregon, their charter, they weren't even supposed to have any black people.
Right, exactly.
In Oregon. I didn't even know that.
It was in their constitution. Yep. But we got to get out of here. I appreciate it, y'all. It's been a great conversation. Thanks for coming out on the ledge, and let's all just slowly back in out through the window and try to stay away from the ledge for another 24 hours.
I'll hang in there.
All right. Thank you, Tracy. Thank you, Todd.
Good night, Bob.
Later, y'all. And tomorrow, I've still got some crazy to get into. Complete with a musical interlude. I'm looking forward to it. We're going to get to it yet, because I've still got the stuff queued up. So that's it. Thanks to all of you who keep the program on the air. Please remember, if you're listening to this program in delay, we need subscribers. We badly need subscribers. And there is a challenge out on the table, courtesy of Tony and Chico, to double the first month subscription for 5 brand new $10 a month subscribers. Okay? There's no fundraising goal. I'm not fundraising. I'm just saying that challenge is out there. Tony made it. And he'd really love to have some company on the subscriber list, okay? Thanks to all of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Steve from Georgistan for coming on by and moderating in the chat room. Thank you very kindly. Oh, and there's Sparky. Hey, Sparky, thanks for coming by, man. Appreciate your moderating skills. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Like I said, thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, head on .live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Cold River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20 years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later, y'all.